The year 1934 brought us the first Flash Gordon comic strip, Albert Einstein visiting the White House, the end of Bonnie and Clyde as well as John Dillinger, the opening of Alcatraz Prison, and the first soapbox derby in Dayton, Ohio. But 1934 also brought Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, as well as the Works Progress Administration Relief Program that was meant to put people back to work and get the economy rolling again. And one of the programs within the WPA was designed directly for artists. Well, the Smithsonian American Art Museum has collected 56 paintings that are from this program, and they put them into a traveling exhibit. And this exhibit is currently on display at the Minnesota History Center in St. Paul. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's news feature, I'll be bringing you an interview I had with Brian Zott, the acting curator for the Minnesota History Center. And we're going to be talking about this exhibit that's going to be running from June 2nd through the end of September. For those who don't know, the Minnesota History Center is located in St. Paul, literally at the intersections of I-94 and I-35. And it's an easy day trip for all those interested not only in Minnesota history, but now with this exhibition, for those interested directly with the arts of 1934 and how state funding of the arts really had an effect not only upon the artists, but upon their communities, as well as how their artwork has left a record of what life was like nearly 80 years ago. So travel along with us as Brian Zott introduces himself and tells us a little bit about what's going on at the Minnesota History Center.
Well, I'm Brian Zott, acting head of collections at the Minnesota Historical Society, and today we're in one of the exhibition galleries, and in that gallery is the exhibition 1934, A New Deal for Artists.
Oh, nice. And this goes back, of course, to, you know, Depression era.
Correct.
And this is, well, the New Deal. Well, we see landmarks around that kind of were products from that, little walls here and there, but I guess not too many people know that artists were funded through this, too.
That's correct. Franklin Roosevelt won election in a landslide in the fall of 1932. He took office in March of 1933 and introduced a series of economic stimulus programs designed to provide relief, recovery, and reform for the American people. This exhibition features on a short-lived program called the Public Works of Art Project, which was nestled into this larger program called the Civil Works Administration, and that was designed in the fall of 1933 to put more than 4 million people back to work. They were facing a harsh winter, the economic realities were settling in for the long term, and included in that was money for artists to make art. The Roosevelt administration recognized that artists were workers as well, and being governor of New York, he and his close associates clearly recognized the economic impact cultural workers can have on an economy on a small scale. So they figured that cultural workers like artists and writers and musicians could have an economic impact on a larger scale.
Nice. Somewhat parallels the legacy funding of today in a way.
Well, it's interesting because there are lots of parallels between the Great Recession of the last 4 years and the Great Depression of the 1930s. But there are other parallels, and you had mentioned the legacy funding. If you adjust for inflation, about $27 million were spent on arts programs during the 1930s, during the New Deal in Minnesota. And in 2010, the Legacy Amendment funded something to the tune of $22 million to arts programming. Now, artists today are much different than artists of the 1930s. Back then, they were hired to do what they do best, and that's to paint or to sculpt or to whatever they were doing. Today, artists are community activists, they're educators, they're organizers, and so with these legacy funds today, artists are doing a wider variety of activities.
Yeah, yet that ripple effect is still kind of seen, not just with that artist having work, but if somebody has work, they're more likely to, I don't know, buy food,
right. Pay taxes,
support other parts of the community. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it does have an economic impact, economic development. The other big difference is that the New Deal programming, which started with the Public Works of Art program and then continued through the Works Progress Administration in the 30s, was only a 7 or 8 year period. The Legacy Amendment is funded for 25 years. So really, it could have a pretty dramatic impact on the arts environment in Minnesota.
Well, that's today. Well, let's talk about yesteryear, if you will. These are artists from 1934. Well, why don't we just kind of go and talk about some of them? Some of them are, you know, some of the art that I can just kind of see here. We've got some things that are landscapes and buildings, which you might still see today, and other things are, well, industry and daily life.
The exhibition is organized into 7 themes. It was organized by the Smithsonian American Art Museum, and in these galleries are 56 paintings. They had more than 200 paintings in their collection that relates to the work that was created in the 7-month period called the PWAP. And the exhibition is organized into certain themes. You mentioned people, the countryside, the nature, the city, industry, labor, etc. All the work is, for the most part, is largely representational. And when the designers of this program created this job-creating activity, the PWAP, they wanted to create an art form known as the American scene. So it was art of America, by Americans, for Americans. And so the subject matter kind of falls into some familiar sites, some traditional scenes like countryside, rural farms, and then some urban scenes, some life in the city and some construction scenes and et cetera.
Well, talking about the nature of the kids we can hear in the background right now, well, how many people do you expect to come through here?
Well, it's a summer exhibition. It opens June 2nd and continues to September 30th. And it's a great opportunity for the Historical Society, for a history center, to host an art exhibition. This is this period of time, the art being made intersects very nicely with American history of the same time. So we think people will have great interest in the topic, and hopefully we'll have lots of people attending.
Okay, so let's see. We were just talking about, the different kinds of, different kinds of life, I guess, which is being represented here. And, the History Center itself is pretty, it's pretty neat in here. I guess it is kind of a difference having art in the History Center, because a lot of times you have maybe artifacts.
That's right. The collection itself has over 250,000 artifacts in the collection, but we also have an art collection which numbers in the range of 6,000 works of art. The New Deal era art programming affected Minnesota greatly in the 1930s. In our collection, we have more than 500 works of art that relate to the WPA and the New Deal era art making. So it's appropriate that a traveling national exhibition should come here focusing just on art. It is a little bit of a deviation from us, from the some of the other activities, some of the more, kid-friendly activities that we have going on here. You know, the U.S. Constitution is here right now. We have an exhibition on Minnesota's Greatest Generation, the World War II generation. And then this summer we'll be also opening up an exhibition exploring the U.S. Dakota War of 1862. So it's a wide variety of exhibitions that we have going on here. And so it'll be nice to have an art exhibition in for the summer amidst all the other galleries.
Yeah. I believe Ampers is producing a series on the Dakota War as well. And I think that kind of brings me to my next question here, too. Things like that happened 100, 150 years ago, we might not be aware of them in our daily lives. So why is the History Center so important then to Minnesotans?
Well, our job has always been, we were founded in 1849, and our job has been to preserve Minnesota's past. We do that with everything from photographs to state records, as I mentioned, an artifact collection. We have an archaeology collection. And the purpose is to shed light on Minnesota's interesting history and its people. And certainly the New Deal era is something that has of great interest to the general public. The artwork that you see in the galleries and the artwork that's characteristic of the New Deal was very accessible to the American public. The creators of the programs wanted to create an art that was celebrated by the public. So I think people will enjoy this exhibition because it will capture sort of the sights and scenes circa 1934. Because the program was developed so quickly, you'll see an unusual number of winter scenes because by June of 1934, the program is winding down. And in that seven-month period, more than 3,700 artists across the nation received funding and more than 15,000 works of art were created during that period of time. And so I think people will find the scenes here accessible. They were popular then, and they remain to be popular today.
So there's nothing too Dada-esque or...
No, in fact, the art that was being made in America, before World War II, was a sort of a type of regionalism that... in a sense, was a rejection of the modernism that was coming from Europe over the recent decades of the 19-teens and 20s. And so there was a bit of a reaction against that sort of abstraction. Now, there are some WPA work and some New Deal work that was fairly abstract, but by and large, the work was created for the American people. The founders of the program recognized that the power that art can have, and the artists were challenged really to create works of art that also lifted their spirits. So you'll see scenes of industry. For example, we're looking at a series of paintings right now that depict everything from the Spruce Mine in Eveleth, Minnesota, to grain elevators in Minneapolis, to different mines and factories throughout the United States.
Yeah, different forms of industry just kind of trucking along.
Right.
And we've got, you know, other examples of nature and city life, if you will. And just people in general.
Somebody had asked me earlier if they thought that the scenes seemed devoid of people. And I think that that wasn't any attempt at isolation or loneliness. It just seems to me that the scene painters, the scenic painters, whether that was industry or landscape, rural landscape, really focused on the majesty of the subject without the figures in it. And then those artists that focused on people did it front and center. So you just see sort of two different styles, approaches to capturing the American scene.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC. And in today's news feature, went down to St. Paul and the Minnesota Historical Society to talk with Brian Zott about their exhibit from the Smithsonian American Art Museum of 56 paintings from 1934 that were created through the WPA Works Program, which hired artists to produce art.
The Minnesota Historical Society also has a number of sites, not necessarily in St. Paul, but all over the place. I don't know, can you speak to some of those a little bit?
Well, in addition to preserving artifacts, we also, the Historical Society is also charged with preserving certain historic sites. In the metro area, we have a handful of historic sites, everything from the state capital to Fort Snelling, but also in outstate, in greater Minnesota, a number of historical locations that we operate and preserve.
Yeah, and there's actually a map that is a... The sites roadmap.
Yep. Like that, right.
But yeah, there is a lot of history here in Minnesota that, you know, like I said, people might not be entirely aware of.
Well, one of the things that as curator of art, in addition to the acting head of collections, as curator of art, and I've been here for 11 years, one of the best-kept secrets, if you will, is the enormously high-quality, continuous history of art making that exists in Minnesota from the early years of the 1820s and 30s, before even Minnesota was a territory, let alone a state, and continuing up to the present day. Art making and the visual arts is something that distinguishes Minnesota from certainly its neighboring states and distinguishes Minnesota among all 50 states. And we have this great tradition, and certainly the New Deal era art making was sort of a golden age of art making. There was a great deal of investment in art making in Minnesota. Numbers of artists, scores of artists were hired to create works of art, and they leave a legacy now that enriches our lives today as we look at them. As I mentioned, we have over 500 works of art in the collection. But art was made at the time, and it was distributed everywhere from schools to hospitals to other state facilities. Murals decorated the walls of post offices, high school auditoriums, and visitor centers throughout the United States, and Minnesota. There were over 70 murals created in Minnesota during the WPA. So people can see them out and about, those that are still in existence. And it really creates a sort of a punctuation point in this long, continuous history of art making here in Minnesota.
Well, I guess that kind of leads to another question. Why do you think art is so important? Not just, you know, collecting it or keeping it or, you know, keeping it safe, but just the production of it, you know?
Again, being a curator in a historical organization allows me to discuss not just the genius of the artist or the excellence of his or her skill on the canvas, for example, but it also becomes a door or a portal through which we can then explore all sorts of aspects of history. In the case of our collection, it's Minnesota history, but in the case of this exhibition, it's American history. So it allows us, I think it's important, it allows us to talk about more things than maybe an art museum would with regard to the works of art. And we could talk about industry of the 1930s or the landscape in the 1930s or city life in the 1930s. And it allows us to expand the conversation and explore. So I like to think that the works of art become almost a portal through which the viewer can go through to discover a whole host and learn about a whole host of things regarding history. The exhibition, as I mentioned, has 56 paintings in it, but four of the works of art are by artists with Minnesota connections. So when this program was created in the December of 1933, they had to get money into the hands of artists immediately, and the organization was divided into 16 regions throughout the country, and well-established working artists or out-of-work artists, but well-established ones, were hired immediately. And four of them had Minnesota connections. One of the ones we're looking at right now is of the Spruce Mine in Eveleth, Minnesota, by Dewey Albinson. And Dewey Albinson is a well-known Minnesota figure. He was born in Minneapolis. He was the son of immigrants and was a lifelong artist until he moved from Minnesota in 1947. In 1922, he painted along the shores of Lake Superior near Grand Portage. In the 1930s, he was up on the Iron Range painting some of the open pit mines. He was an extraordinary colorist, and his paintings are sort of rich colors of oranges and reds, and particularly the mine. The mines up on the range lent itself to that sort of colorization, I believe. He was a student at the Minneapolis School of Art at the time, studied in Europe, and was a well-known artist. The work next to that, of the grain elevators, is by a fellow named Arnold Klagstad. His father, August Klagstad, was also a Scandinavian immigrant and an artist in his own right. But Arnold served in both World War I and II. It was a well-known painting. In fact, he was the first Minnesota artist to have a work of art purchased by the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City in 1937. So certainly in the 1930s, he was a well-known artist with some national reputation. He's largely a scenic painter, scenes in and around Minneapolis. We have two or three of his works in our collection. In addition to the one here, they all include sort of scenes of the Twin Cities area. The Stone Arch Bridge is the subject of one painting in our collection, and this is a work of grain elevators that were common along, for example, Hiawatha Avenue in Minneapolis at the time. The other two artists in the exhibition are a fellow named Earl Lauren, who was a well-known artist. He left in 1936 to teach at the University of California at Berkeley, and was very instrumental in sort of the modernist movement in California in the 1940s and 50s. The work here in the exhibition is titled Minnesota Highway, and it's really a rural highway just outside of the metro area. And if you look very closely on the mailbox, you see his signature on the painting. Lastly, we have a work in here with by a fellow named Harry Gottlieb, who was briefly in Minnesota, but by the 1930s, he had already moved to Woodstock, New York. He was also a student at the Minneapolis School of Art and a classmate of well-known artist Wanda Gog. Gog and a group of artists all went to New York around 1918 to study at the Art Students League in New York. Gottlieb never returned to Minnesota after that point. And that's a particularly nice painting entitled Filling the Ice House, which is a painting inside a winter scene inside a house where a building where they would store ice for the summer, and a group of men bringing big blocks of ice cut from the local river into storage facilities to keep them for the needs of a hot summer.
Definitely part of Minnesota life right there. And now we've got refrigerators, but, you know. But, you know, rivers still freeze, so there we go.
So how did this exhibition come into being?
The exhibition was organized in 2009, which was the 75th anniversary of the creation of the New Deal and of the PWAP, the Public Works of Art program. And one of my favorite paintings in the collection is a large painting that is a construction site of what would be the Golden Gate Bridge. So it spans the bay, and from one end you could just see the beginnings of that building of that bridge. Coincidentally, this weekend was the 75th anniversary of the opening of that bridge, so we know that it took about 4 years to build, and so it's a nice bookend to see this work in these galleries now on the occasion of its 75th anniversary of its completion.
Cool. Yeah, there's just all sorts of stories behind just about behind every painting in here. Just. Yeah.
That's at the Historical Society of what we like, is every picture tells a story, and if it tells lots of stories, we're even happier.
Right on. Well, thanks for speaking with me
today.
My
pleasure. It was nice to meet you.
Cool.
And you've been listening to an interview with Brian Zott, curator of the gallery at the Minnesota History Center in St. Paul. And we've been discussing the exhibit 1934, A New Deal for Artists, which is paintings from the Smithsonian American Art Museum, which will be on view at the Minnesota History Center from June 2nd until September 30th. For more information, you can find this online at www.mnhs.org, or you can call the Minnesota History Center for more information at 651-259-3000. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC, and this report was made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund as part of the Legacy Amendment. And it has also been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.